to bring us back to life and peace and wholeness and relationship with you. You know, if you just gave us what was fair, that we would have, we're not up to it. You are the one who loves first, and we love you because of that. Yeah. I pray, help us today. Help me to speak clearly. Help. We acknowledge that you're the one who saves people, right? But help us to be faithful servants of yours, I pray in Jesus' name. That's cool. So we got it's a bit practical today. So we're going to do a little bit about, you know, how... basically, the topic I've been given here is communicating the good news, okay? Well, technically, I was given the title Communicating the Gospel, but I figure here's one principle when you're sharing the message of Jesus with someone. Don't use a word they don't know unless you're either planning to explain it or you can just replace it with words they do know. So everyone knows what good news means. Why not say that, okay? Because gospel just means good news. So there we go. Excellent. So we're going to very quickly do a really short bit about that. In fact, here you go. Now, I know this is tiny. You don't need to read it all. The point of most of this slide is to say all the stuff we're not going to do today. Okay? So if you have a look on there, we are going to cover the two top points, basically, are what we're going to look at today. Okay? So one simple way to explain the good news of Jesus and invite people to follow him if they would like. Okay? So to offer the good news of Jesus and explain what it is. And some tips for offering that conversation to people. You know, initiating that conversation. That's basically what we're going to cover today. As you can see, and I'll read it for the tape quickly, we're not planning to spend a lot of time on, or we don't have time for, we could do it another time, how to follow up with interested people or teach new believers, a quick way to share what Jesus has done for you, that's quite good, you know, how to handle objections or difficult questions for now. If you are saying something to someone and they ask you a difficult question, that's great, because they are taking an interest in the conversation, and you can just listen and say, "Ah, that's really interesting." And if you don't know how to answer it, say, "That's a really good question. I'm not sure." Write it down. Go and find out. That's allowed. Show integrity in that. Don't pretend to know what you don't. Yeah? So for now, you can just ask them, "Can you tell me more about that? What do you mean by that? Yeah? Why did you come to that conclusion? What makes you think that?" Those kind of questions are great. So I'll just say that for now. But how to handle objections or difficult questions, we're not going to really go into a lot today. How to discuss the evidence for God's existence or for the resurrection of Jesus. I didn't put it down there, but how to give an account for how we know the Bible is reliable, you know, based on the ancient documents and how that all works. And also how to listen to the Holy Spirit and cautiously present words of prophecy for the people we're talking to and all that. So this is all the stuff we're not going to do today. I'm just trying to show you there's a lot more, right? There's a lot more. But what we are doing is that first 2 points there. A simple way to explain the good news and a little bit about how you might initiate that conversation. Okay, here we go. So I'm going to show one way of explaining the good news that is based on one Bible verse, okay? Now, as you'll see in a minute, we're not just going to sort of blurt it out there and then be like, "And I'm done, I'm good." Because it won't work that way. But this is the one verse. You could pick others. In fact, there are many around the walls here. So this one, funnily enough, is over here. You could probably use some of the other ones on the same poster to share important things about Jesus, who he is, what he came to do, all of those, yeah? Cool. So you could use that one probably, some of what Jesus said, you know, blessed are, you could explain some important kingdom principles, you know, kingdom of God principles with that. You could definitely use the previous poster over there, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. You got tons of, they're all over the place. You can go to places from this one, right? Or that one, right? Or there's tons more that when the posters were made, you know, there wasn't time to put everything in the Bible. The point is that this is, the text of the Bible is not designed so that you just, you know, cut and paste one little bit of it and you've got the whole shebang. No, God has designed things in such a way that he puts a bit here, a bit there, a bit everywhere, and you kind of build a cumulative picture, okay? But for now, we will start with this. So we would suggest that you guys memorize this verse, because we're going to use it in a bit more of an interesting, expansive way in a minute. So the verse is, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord." It's Romans 6, chapter 6, verse 23. It's the last verse in Romans 6, okay? So I'm just saying here, it's not just a Bible verse, okay? We're not just using it, like I said, cut and paste. And if we were going to do what we're going to do with it, honestly, it would be a bit, you'd be shoehorning it in there to say everything we're going to say is in this one text. Yeah, we're not trying to say that. We're not just trying to say this is what this one verse says. Rather, we are, you know, because it's too, there's too much depth here in our relationship with God and everything God has done for us. It's too much to put in one verse. So what we're doing instead is we are using Romans 6:23 as the skeleton or the scaffold of our message, basically for us as a way to remind ourselves of the sort of things that need to be mentioned and a bit of a flow, okay? So what we're going to do is, yes, perhaps we start off by stating it to the person we're talking to. We just say this and this and this, right? But then we're going to split the verse into three short chunks and we're going to actually unpack a bit. And by that, we'll get a bit of a flow. Okay, so here's the version where I've done some highlighting here, and I've added a couple of questions at the end. All right, this is a bit more how you would use it, right? So, yes, we're gonna, and I will usually like count on my fingers when I talk to someone about this. It's also possible to, if you want to, you know, I've done it this way before. Oops, there we go. I've also done it where I've, you know, I'll grab a cue card or something like that, a blank bit of card, or a napkin if you're in a restaurant or a cafe with someone, back of a napkin, you know, and you can actually write this down and then sort of point to things and underline stuff, or maybe even write little notes around it, and then you've got something you can give them as well, right? So that's all fine, and if you want to do that, or if you want to pre-print stuff out and take a stack of them with you, that's absolutely fine. I'm just going to say you do need to know what to do when you don't have your stack of things, though, because there's going to be a time sometimes where you've, I don't know, gone to the toilet in a restaurant, left your bag somewhere, and then you come out of the toilet and you bump into someone in the corridor, and for some reason God gives you an opportunity, right? And you can't be like, oh, sorry, let me go get my bag with my... Yeah, exactly, right? So by all means, use whatever resources you want, but I would suggest you need to know how to do stuff without tons of resources, yeah? So I will often, if I'm just talking verbally, I'll either write it out like this myself on whatever's nearby, or I will count on my fingers. So 3 points here, okay? I'm going to keep turning around to look at it, but I've got it here. So you can see, for the wages of sin is death, okay? Now these three passages, these three bullet points, the wages of sin is death is the first one, but the free gift of God is eternal life, that's the second one, and through Christ Jesus our Lord is the third one. I just realized I need to say it like that for the tape. These describe like three arcs or three major themes from Scripture, right? And you can bring up passages from various places for these things. And so this is why I say we're not using it just as a thing to read out and pretend that's got everything in it. We're using it as a reminder for us as believers who are supposed to know the rest of the New Testament and the rest of the Bible, that like what stuff we should mention. And then, for example, when you come across the word death, we know that biblically the definition of that is a lot more expansive. It's not just physical death of your body, right? It means like brokenness, decay, separation from God, separation from each other, strife, suffering, problems, all the brokenness of the world and ourselves, yeah? All the fact that we're, yeah? So when we as a believer come across it, we know that's what we might want to mention, yeah? So I would say something like this. I'd say, first of all, saying it out loud. I've read it a few times, so I won't do that again. But I'd say, okay, what are wages? And maybe you have a bit back and forth with them, maybe you don't. I'm just going to skip through for sake of time. So wages are, they are what you deserve. They're what you earn, right? Like if, and I'll often say this, if you do some work, you know, in return for a wage, and then they say, we're not going to pay you your wage, you say, oi, that's unfair. I'm not doing... No. This is unjust, yeah? Because wages are what is deserved in this case, all right? What is sin? Well, people often have an idea of this, that maybe it's like when you've done naughty stuff. Usually they can think of stuff that other people have done that they think is bad. Usually we can be like, when them politicians, they're all lying, right? But obviously, like when I lie to my boss and say I'm sick when I'm not, that's different. You know what I mean? But the stuff that we know, but there is some stuff, and you can always find somebody who you can be like, they're lower down the totem pole than me, or whichever way it is. That is true. However, I would just say, it's all the ways that we have the opportunity to know God, and we go our own way, and we rebel, and yes, we do stuff that's wrong as part of that. But basically, we're all rebels, and that's what the Bible means by sin. It's us running from God, going our own way, and doing stuff that isn't right. And then death, as I've mentioned here, is, yeah? So what does that first little arc mean? It means what we earn, what we deserve, yeah, by all of our running away from God, unplugging from God, by turning from him, going our own way, and the various immoral things that we do, is death, decay, brokenness, and all the stuff that's wrong with the world, yeah? All the stuff that's wrong with the world, It doesn't mean it's that every instance of somebody suffering is specifically deserved by them. That's not what we're saying. But we do kind of deserve to live in the kind of world we live in. Yeah. Next, the free gift of God is eternal life. Okay, what's a free gift? How's that different from wages?
You don't earn it.
You don't earn it, right? A free gift is not earned. In fact, if you have to earn it, it's not a free gift, right? You ever see that when you try to buy something? And they say, oh, if you do this, that, and that, we'll give you this as a free gift. And you know, like, no, because I've just... That's not the way it works, right? So the free gift of God. So God wants to give us as a free gift, not earned, can't be earned, eternal life. What do we mean by eternal life? Well, we mean really living, okay? We mean being full of God, like reconnected with God in a relationship with him. Yeah, you guys can describe what that's like. Being filled with his life and joy and peace and love for others that you don't know where it comes from, but it's there somehow. And, you know, the help of the Holy Spirit and all this kind of stuff. And yes, we also include the hope of eternal life, of life after we die, of resurrection, of the world being fixed and all of that as well. Yeah. So the free gift of God is eternal life. So he wants to give us all of that for free. What's the catch? So we're on the run from him, but he's kind of coming after us, yeah? So, okay, well, the third thing is through Christ Jesus our Lord. The first part of that, through Christ Jesus, reminds me to say why Jesus is important here. Well, because Jesus came down from heaven, and he took the death that I deserve for my sin, and so that he can offer us the life that he deserves as a free gift. Yeah? This is the point of Jesus dying on the cross. That's what he said he came for. And then the last little bit, our Lord, that's there because how do we access this free gift? If it's a free gift, how come I don't have it already? How come I'm still in brokenness? How come whatever, you might hear someone say. And the point is, well, all we have to do is make Jesus our Lord. Now, Lord isn't a common word, so I'll commonly say the equivalent normal word you would say these days would be boss. Yeah, Christ Jesus, our boss. So remember, we're not earning this, but as soon as we decide to make Jesus our boss, even before we've actually done any successful obeying, okay, he gives us eternal life as a gift. Okay, unexpected. So that is a good point to invite and ask where they're at on this, because you don't know the person you're talking to. So you can say to them, what do you think? Right? And let them answer, let them say some things, let them tell you, you know. And then you can also make sure to say, so are you in a place, are you ready to follow Jesus today? Yeah, make sure to ask that. It's a question. Do not you've got not arm up the back, like, so are you ready to say a special formula, prayer and come to my church? No. But ask them, because they might say yes, they might say no, they might say maybe. So this is the general pattern, okay? So what we're going to do, I hope you're paying attention, because we are going to have a go at doing this. So I want you to just try. You are not going to get it perfect. That's the point of practice. Yeah? nothing is ever harder than the first time you try it. Yeah? So there we go. And bear in mind, when I talk about practicing, we're not talking about like the Holy Spirit not being involved. Like, we know it's God who saves people. It's not us. We're just talking about us managing to get the words out of our mouth in a coherent order. Yeah? So, cool. All right. So, find a partner. Practice telling each other the good news of Jesus using the Romans 6:23 scaffold. If you could try, look, I'll leave, it's on the wall there, right? You can have a look if you need to, but try to see if you can say it without looking. Okay? You got the wages of sin is death. It helps to count on your fingers. But the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. So do it like that with your fingers and just have a go at telling each other and then trying to explain those key things. I've probably said it a bit long actually, but just give it your best shot. See how it goes. Do that like 2 times each and we'll restart. Okay? Nobody's moving. Just find somebody next to you. It's fine. Yeah. Isn't it interesting how, number one, how bad we are at knowing whether we've got something memorized. Because it's the same for me. You look at something and go, oh, yeah, I know that story. And then someone says, oh, retell it to me. And you go, right? It's just, yeah. So, number one, this is what the practice part is for. It's not to get better at what happens in the other person's heart to bring them to Jesus. It's just to get better at actually being able to say what we mean, right? It's cool. That's great. I'm going to just do real quick now. How do we start a conversation? Like, let's say you're in a situation, and it depends. Again, I can't brief you on every available thing. And if you look through the Bible, there's not like one pat method, right? Jesus doesn't use one pat method, neither does Paul, neither does anybody. But what I do want to give you is something that where you could walk up to someone and you can not just wait for it to drop in your lap, but you can actually start that conversation, okay? So let's say we might do some stuff where we should knock on some doors. I've done that before and things, you know. So you just, or you walk up to someone at the park, or you bump into them on the dog walk. Karen. oh dear, we know how it is. Yeah, or whatever. And like, you can actually turn the conversation to Jesus in a respectful way, right? We had to offer. And that is just to say, like, for example, I might say, you can change the name, but I'm going to say, hi, I'm David. And I'm going, yeah. yeah. I thought about putting like insert name here on the slide, and I was just like, no, that makes it seem clunky as anything. Anyway, hello, I'm David. I'm going around caring for the community and offering to pray for people. Could I pray for you? Blank space. Leave the blank space. They need to be able to answer, right? They might say yes, they might say no. It's okay, right? No, they very few people react badly to offering to be prayed for, okay? But could I pray for you? And if they say, sure, then just launch into something. I mean, I would advise you don't need to be, you know, jumping up and down and like, you don't need to like take a knee in the middle of the street and make them feel really awkward. You know, you don't need to assume the crash position or anything. Just be like a regular person. But the important part is this, talk to God. That's prayer, right? So talk to God. You know, you find the person's name. I usually ask if I can pray for them, and if they say yes, then I'll say, okay, that's cool. What's your first name? Right? Because if you just walk up and say, what's your name? They're already like, why do you want to know? Like, yeah. So I'll say my name. Yeah, offer to pray. And the question, could I pray for you or can I pray for you? It's very direct. Don't be like the sort of backpedaling, like, would it be all right if it's not too much bother? Where you're kind of giving them a million excuses before you've said anything. And also, I would advise, generally don't go up and say, is there anything I can pray for you for? Because then they, now feeling under pressure, have to rack their brains for something and will probably come up with nothing and say, no. Whereas if you just say, can I pray for you? It's a yes, no question. And then if they say yes, you can then, it's obvious you're then going to say, sure, is there anything in particular? You know, like, you don't have to memorize that part. It will be obvious, yeah? But you can just, if they don't have anything in particular, you can just pray for them that the Lord would bless them. He'd reveal himself to them by his kindness, that he'd help them out with problems that may be on their mind, maybe they haven't even shared. Whatever you want to pray, yeah? Keep it simple, keep it reasonably short. Pray for them. Show that God cares for them, yeah? If they say yes to that one, pray for them. If they say no to that one, You can skip to the second question anyway. You'd be amazed how many people say yes to hearing the message, even if they've said no to prayer. It's fine. So just that's fine. Well, okay. Could I share the good news about Jesus with you? But just take a minute, you know. Just say that. See what they say. And again, it's could I share with you? Yeah. And see what they say. They might say, oh, no thanks. Da, da, da. In fact, sometimes people say no thanks. And then if you, because you've just left space, you've said, could I share the message of Jesus with you? And then just shut up and see what they say. Because sometimes people will kind of fill that space and overshoot. They'll say, no, I don't want you to do that because like when I was five, this happened and my aunt, da, 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 and like, I don't know, and like, why should a baby die? And that really hurts my heart. And how could, now, you might think, oh, that seems, but actually, they are telling you where they're at spiritually. They're telling you what matters to them. They're telling you where they're hurt. Yeah, so listen to that. And then you can always respond, oh, wow, yeah, that is huge. That's a big thing. I can see how that would be a thing. And then you will hopefully know out of your own heart something that, you know, and out of what you've read of the Bible that you can say to that, you know. Like, well, I know, tell you what, Jesus himself suffered in all kinds of ways. You know, the Father knows what it's like to lose a son. Yeah, all this. So God knows, and you can share out of that. So don't be worried if someone says all these objections. Just listen to them, right? That's fine. So that's all we're going to practice right now. Okay, I'm going to do a little thing with Sonny. Coming up, Sonny. I'm gonna wait. Hang on a minute. I should do this. Yeah, all right. For microphone reasons, come up here. Here, Sonny. This is now your house. It's all right. You can. We'll be here. We'll do it here. Okay. So you can be here. Just come here. Yeah. There we go. Okay. Cool.
Come in.
I probably would not like that, actually. we've got what. Hi there. I'm David, and this is probably someone's with me. Anyway, and we're just going around caring for the community and offering to pray for people. Could we pray for you?
No.
No? Okay, that's fair enough. That's all right. Could I share the good news about Jesus with you? Have you ever heard that?
Okay.
Is that all right? Yeah. So you can summarise it in a simple way, right? There's like one verse, and then I'll sort of unpack it a bit. So the verse is, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord, right? Let me unpack that a bit. Like, wages, that's like what you earn, what you deserve, right? Someone doesn't pay you your wages, that's unfair. Wages are, in this case, it's about what's deserved, right? And sin, so with the wages of sin is... You know, yes, obviously it's like when people do bad stuff that shouldn't be done. Yes, lying, cheating, stealing, etc., right? But it's a bit more than that. It's like we have the opportunity to know God, but we prefer other stuff he's made, and we run off after that stuff, and we go our own way, and we ignore him, yeah? So that, and then also the bad stuff we do with sin. And then death is, in the Bible, a bit of a bigger concept. It's like death, decay, brokenness, all the stuff that's wrong with the world and with ourselves. It's our addictions, our mental health issues. It's disconnection from God, from each other, and all the strife and everything. Yeah. So that's the. So what we're seeing here is the result and what we deserve because of our running away from God, going our own way, and doing stuff that's not right, is to be separated from God and to live in this world that's broken and messed up, and eventually, yeah, we physically die. Yeah. But the good news is that the free gift of God is eternal life. Yeah? Well, what's a free gift? How's that different to wages?
Yeah. Free gift is the one you didn't work for.
You didn't work for it, right? Yeah. You didn't work for it. You didn't earn it. In fact, you can't earn it. If you have to earn it, it's not a free gift. And you can't earn a free gift, right? So God wants to give us, as a free gift, not earned, he wants to give us eternal life. And just like I said, death was a bigger concept. In the Bible, eternal life is a bigger concept. It means like really living, being filled with like God's power again, like plugged back into him, filled with love and joy and peace and help in difficult times and comfort and, you know, love for other people and reconnected with God and in a sense with other people as well and even with the world. And eventually, yes, going into, there's a future promise of God fixing everything, including us, new bodies, all of that lot, yeah? So that it's the whole thing, yeah. And then that last part there is you know, in Christ Jesus our Lord, or through Christ Jesus our Lord, yeah? Mm-hmm. Well, through Christ Jesus, why is that? You might have heard the story about Jesus dying on the cross.
Yeah.
He said that he came for that purpose. He came so that he took the death that we deserve because of our sin, so that he could offer us the life of God, yeah? His life. And it's because, yeah, that's really what he deserves, and he's offering it to us as a free gift, yeah? And the last thing is how you access it. That little "our Lord" at the end says all you need to get this free gift of God is, instead of running from him, to turn around, right? Trust him and basically make him your boss. Yeah, so instead of having something else first, we put him as our boss, yeah? And even before we've successfully, like, done anything for him, just the fact that we are honestly having him as our boss, obviously we're going to, if he's our boss, we're going to try and obey him, right? As hard as we can. But even if we mess up, he's still going to be, we've still got as a free gift that eternal life. And he's going to be helping us with that. And that's the message. So can I ask what you think about that?
Are you saying that all the things that I'm going through now, all the disappointments and stuff's happening in my life, is God trying to pay me because of my sins?
Okay. So, yeah, no, good question, right? Yeah. I asked Sunny to ask this one because if you say things in the wrong way, people might get that impression, right? So, no, I'm not saying that, like, any time something bad happens to someone, he could have been worse. He could have been like, are you telling me that babies that die, it's because of their sins or something? You know what I mean? He could have really, right? But we're not saying that every single kind of suffering that happens to someone was deserved specifically by them. We're not saying that. But we are saying we're choosing to live a life far from God, and we are doing some bad things, and God can't let those things carry on forever. And the alternative to letting it carry on forever is, well, death. Yeah? So there is a sense in which we deserve to be in this broken world. We don't necessarily deserve the specific things that happen to us in this broken world. Does that make sense? Yeah? Mm-hmm. And we have the option, as a free gift, to have eternal life if we just try it God's way. Yeah? Cool. Is there anything stopping you from following Jesus yourself?
I think I'll have a thing. Go and think about it. It's not something I want to decide now.
That's fair enough.
And then
that's
maybe
cool.
We'll see some other time.
Would you tell you what? If I did see you another time, I could show you something from the Bible, some of Jesus' teachings. Would you be interested to have a look, see what you think?
Yeah, we can see some other time.
Oh, that's cool. Nice to meet you, mate.
Bye.
God bless you. There we go. Cool. Nice realistic conversation there. Just realised actually, I could have put something on there about that, which is. Of course, if when they answer the, are you ready to follow Jesus today, there's always the, would you like to meet up and chat some more? You know, that's a great one because you're not trying to do everything at once here, right? So, I'll leave that one off for now. Cool. Excellent.
Final question. Yeah?
Yep.
So how do you do this without feeling awkward or embarrassed?
Oh, all right. You say you're going to make me do it then.
No.
Okay. You can't do something you've never done before, especially something in front of other people, without feeling awkward, right? However, you will never feel more awkward than the first time, right? Right, do you see what I'm getting at, yeah? So, like, every time you do something that you've done before, it gets easier. Right? Loads and loads of people. So, for example, Gillian, so this morning you're out the front, you're talking in front of everybody, you're leading worship and stuff, yeah? Ask Joe about how he feels about doing that. Right? But you've done it loads of times, so it's easy. Relatively easy, yeah? Do you see what I'm getting at, yeah? It's just like, whatever you've done lots of times will become easier. So, what I can encourage you is this. The more direct and straightforward you are with your questions, the more everybody knows what's going on in the conversation, and actually the less awkward it is. When you start trying to sort of fudge a bit and massage things to make them, people can tell you're doing it and it gets more awkward, right? So I would just say, just go in, hey, could I pray for you? You know, could I share the message of Jesus with you? You know, heck, you can even play. I went out yesterday and Dad came with me just to work on some things. And I saw a neighbor You know, that I'm not making hard and fast rules for what to say here, but like, if you don't know what to say this is the general gist, yeah? But like, I saw a neighbour across the street who I have talked to before, and she's not particularly open to the gospel, but I went over to her and was like, I'm practicing for this thing I'm doing tomorrow, and I know you're all right, you're game, aren't you? So here, let me show you. And she was very happy to, if she was doing me a favour, or what have you. Now, I know she needs the life of God. She wants love and joy and peace, and right? She doesn't know she wants God. I get that. But just the point is, be aware. You are giving someone something good. Share with them. Just be direct about it, right? And there is like a momentum thing that goes on, which is the first 5 people I talk to on any given day feel a bit, I'm like, I don't want to do this, right? There's just something, even though I've done it before, it's not as high as a barrier as it used to be, but a little bit, first 5 people. If, like, the next 5 people, I'm like, oh, right, yeah, you can do this. By the time I've got to, like, the third or fourth set of 5 people in a given day, I'm like, where's the next person? This is great. Let's go over here, talk to this guy, let's talk to that guy. Let's, oh, you, I'll talk to you. And because there is something in... to be honest, I think it's just the joy of the Holy Spirit. Like, when we are obeying Jesus in something, and in this case it's in going and making disciples and so on, when we're obeying Jesus, there is a joy that fills you, and it gradually starts to eclipse the awkwardness and things like that. But yeah, I would say, like, yeah, if you feel awkward the first time, if the conversation feels awkward the first time, you've not done it wrong, you've done it. Right? You see what I mean? And it will just, you'll feel less awkward. And when you feel less awkward, so will they... it's all fine. I will say, though, if they look like they want to escape, or they say, oh, I've got to go, I've got to do with it, let them. For goodness sake, don't be like, wait, you know, just let them, right? In fact, don't forget, God may let you bump into a person more than once in your entire life, right? And so, you know, if they want to leave or something, or pay attention for a situation, say if you're talking to someone like one of the staff in the cafe or something like that, bear in mind, they can't just be like, bye, I'm off. Yeah, so if they're a captive audience, be extra sensitive to making sure that they have the space to end the conversation, you know what I mean? But like, that doesn't mean you don't offer it directly to them. You just, you put the offer there and say, would you like to? And if they say, no, actually, not right now. Yeah, okay, that's cool. And you make it fine, yeah? So anyway, that's really good. I think in terms of what we're going to do to follow up, what you can do, yeah. I'm going out and sharing with people every Tuesday, and some other days as well, but I'll be out this Tuesday between like at various times. Sometimes I have to go see people, but between 10:30 and 6:00, okay. And then any other days, at the moment it's summer, so I'm less teaching timetable. So let me know if you want to meet up and go out and have a go in your neighborhood, this neighborhood, any neighborhood. You might be thinking of people in your own life that you would be desperate to share with, right? Go for it, do it, right? There's no rule about that you have to go out and knock door to door. However, if you want to get better at it so that you feel less awkward saying your side of it with your friends and family, I would say actually starting off with strangers where you're just turning up and everyone knows what you're there for is an easier in. So if you want to come out with me, you can follow me around. You don't have to talk to begin with. Whatever you want to do, wherever you're at, if you just want to walk with me and pray and see David talk to people and stuff, or maybe eventually you're like, oh, this is great, let's, you know, you want to contribute, that's fine. Wherever you're at, okay? So there's that, and I think at some point as a church we're probably going to do something in the local area, but it's not been decided on yet, so I guess it's a watch this space. All right, cool. Oh, thanks. Yeah. Holy Spirit, thank you that is your work that brings people to you. So I just pray that you will use whatever stumblings we do. Help us to be faithful on our end. But we know it's you. It's you that saves us, and it's you that saves people. So, yeah, we hand that over to you, and we say, your kingdom come and your will be done. Amen.